We're going to actually go through 7 through 21. You can remain seated as this is a teaching text, an epistle. And I'm going to read this in Jesus' name. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love of God hath for us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, but hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we for him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. We know by the understanding of men, it baffles us. But yet, Father, we ask by your Spirit that you'd speak to us, that you would encourage us, that you would show us in reality who we are in Christ, that we also can love. Sanctify us in the truth, because we know your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you heard a lot about love. Last week, we talked about marriage. We talked about the understanding of how marriage should work. And I actually kind of probably put a lot of pressure on the men that really you're to love your wives as Christ loved the church. And that's talking about a sacrificial love. This continues in that same line. But I'm not going to beat up on you guys. We're going to get the women today. No, I'm kidding. But anyways, we're going to talk about God's love. And I'm telling you, sometimes we get these goofy images of what love is in our life. We watch TV, if we do, and we see these commercials, and we see them like kind of Hallmark commercials, and we think, oh man, this is love. We think, well, if we get the right roses, or if we get the right gift, or we get the right chocolates, whatever it may be, everything is going to fall into line. In one selfish way, it's almost like, then I don't have to do anything else. Because I got the perfect gift, so she should be happy, or he should be happy. God's love is pure. God's love is honest and it's raw. Human love oftentimes is selfish, self-centered. If we were to be honest, I would say this, even as a clause, especially in our fallen nature. What can we get from it? How will this benefit us? But that loses the understanding of service in the name of Jesus Christ. And so you turn around and you look at it. Really, it's just amazing how oftentimes we can mess things up. But the first verse tells us very straightforward in our text today, beloved, let us love one another. So that's the first instruction from John. He's trying to encourage us that we would love one another. that we wouldn't just wait for someone else to love me, but that we would actually enter out into this world, into our relationships, into our families, into our communities, with the understanding of love. Having this desire to see better out of people, to encourage people, to bring something forth. So, beloved, and I think it's awesome because John's starting off in love. He's calling him his loved. And he says, let us love one another, for love is of God. If we are the children of God, if we are the representation of God, if we are the ambassadors of Christ, as even the scripture says, should we not represent what he is? Love. So it doesn't really matter what you're doing. I'm just going to tell you everything nice. You can be abusing your wife, and I'm going to say, but Jesus loves you. It's okay. That's not love. That's cutesy. Love is also truth. But even, this is the part that we have difficulty in. Even when we bring truth, do we do it in love, or do we do it in a vindictive heart, an angry heart, a bitter heart? It's that we would seek Christ in all that we do, that even if we have to encourage, that we would ask Christ, how do we encourage this individual? If we have to bring correction, how do we correct this individual? How do we bring truth to this individual? There was a statement, and I've said it to you before, back in a decade ago, two decades ago, I don't know, I'm getting old, I guess, but they always talked about this word, tough love. I hate that statement. For a while, I was on that bandwagon. Oh, yeah, we got to have tough love. No matter what it does to the person, you got to tell them what it is. How about truthful love? Because we care about this person, because we want this person to do better, because we see a better way, or maybe they're missing the mark somewhere, in love, we're going to tell them the truth. We're not going to pound them with it. We're going to share the truth with them. Lately, that's been kind of difficult. We live in a political correct world, or we think we are, and we're so far off base, it's not funny, that we feel like we can't offend anybody. We speak the truth. If murder is murder, we speak it. And we could talk about murder with abortion all day long. And it's still true, it's wrong. But it doesn't let me off the hook with my gossip. It doesn't let me off the hook with my talking about somebody and ruining their reputation, because in reality, I am murdering them. See, we have a tendency to not want to understand the truth in full spectrum. We like to stand up on our Christian heels, as we say, and look down on people and say, well, this is wrong, this is wrong. What about my behavior? He says we need to love one another because actually love is the evidence of God in our lives. Whoever loves has been born of God. In this world, it's kind of an interesting thing. We talk about so many things, and if you ever hung around me for a little while, and I'm far from perfect, please. But I'll turn around and I'll tell you, like last night working, somebody here in this congregation makes a banana cream pie that I love. I love it. And then I bring correction to myself and I say, no, I love my wife. I really like banana cream pie. So we have a tendency to say, I love my job, I love my car, I love my dog, I love everything else in my life, but then my wife's okay. My helpmeet, which the Lord has given me, the one to strengthen me, she's all right. How about we stop ourselves and we say, I really like this, but I love my wife. I love my children. We have a tendency to throw love around so easily. But the fact of it is, love of sinful pleasure is really just displaced affection. It's misplaced affection. We turn around and we forget this at times. And you turn and you understand it's natural for a man in reality to want a wife. And everybody here would agree with that. That's okay. But it's not good for a man to have every woman he sees. God God gives place for these things. But sometimes we have this displacement of what is good for us. And it's a very interesting thing. God gave the ability for us to have relationships, and it's healthy, and to have marriages and to have families. But when we have misplaced love, we can turn around and rob somebody else of their family, steal their wife, their husband, try to win over their kids. That's misplaced. We need to bring it back into perspective. What is love? It's not just what I feel like. In reality, it is what God has poured out, and he gives us example of in Christ. So he turns around, he says, "You are my loved. Let us love one another, because we understand this love in its purity is of God. And whoever loves has actually been born of God and knows God." Really, what he's saying here is, you of your fallen nature can't come up with this on your own. You will screw it up every time. You'll love banana cream pie, but forget your wife. You'll love your dog, but neglect your children. Jesse, that's displaced. That's misplaced love. You think I'm smoking something? Look around in this world. I'm not talking hellfire, damnation. I'm not talking about the reality of legalism and against legalism. I'm talking about, what do we serve? Oftentimes we have a tendency, or Jesse has a tendency, to serve his business needs more than his own children. I did that growing up all the time. But it doesn't make it right. That's what I'm talking about, displaced love. Where is your affection? Where is your heart drawn towards? He says, anyone who does not love does not understand or doesn't know God, because God is love. It's just a statement that he's making. He's saying here, in reality, it's an impossibility. You cannot understand and know God if you don't know love, because that's exactly who he is. To give a fast forward into the text, he gave his only son for you. He sacrificed everything in your behalf. If that isn't love, I don't know what it is. That's what he's talking about here. Not taking care of Fido and ignoring the kid. Not running off and building another house because Jesse thinks he's going to get rich. No. I don't know what it is in your life. I'm telling you what happened in mine. But God calls us from that. Have you ever, let me ask you a question, and maybe this is too real. And you don't have to audibly answer, please don't. If you want to, I don't care, but I have, so I'll say yes to this. As grandparents, do you find yourself having more time, more graciousness, and more patience, if I could use that word, with your grandchildren than you do your children, or you did when you were raising them? I do. Why? Because I've grown. Because God has revealed to me time and time again what is important and what is not. And if you don't have grandchildren yet, then maybe you can't think of this at this moment. But the reality of it is, you will. And I pray that you understand what I'm talking about. It's not that I'm perfect. I'm still a messed up human being in my own devices. But God has revealed the preciousness of childhood, of the innocence of them in children. To understand that you have this moment today, but you may not tomorrow. The value of these relationships, the value of what God has done for you. He says very plainly, this is what God has done for all of us. God loves you so much, he gave up his child. He gave his own life. If someone doesn't understand love, it's impossible for them to understand God. That's all it's saying. It's not a judgment call, it's a statement. And I think it's true. He says, In this, the love of God was manifest. It was shown to us that God sent his only son into the world. That God sent his only son into the world that you could live. You don't even have to think about me. That you could live. That's sacrificial love. Man, going back to last week's sermon, huh? Husbands, love your wives. God sent his own son into this world that you could live, each and every one of us. He says, in this love, he says, in this is love. Not that we have loved God. See, it's not a performance that we can perform. It's not something that Jesse has now worked his way up to and got perfected. No, he says, actually, he says, in this is love. Not that we have loved God, not that we've done it all right, but that he loved us. That he loved Jesse in spite of who he is, in spite of him chasing the business, in spite of him patting his dog so nicely and pushing his kid away. God loved us. He loved us so much that he sent his only son. And this is huge. I pray that this can absorb into our brain. God loved you so much, whether you know him or not, whether you understand him or not. He loved you so much that he sent his only son that he could pay your debt. He paid your debt. You didn't work for it. He paid your sin debt. You have no debt standing before God. That should be such an encouragement. We stand there with the books clean by the finished work of Jesus Christ. He's paid the debt. Remember how I spoke the other day, last Sunday or whatever, saying, do we always go up to the cross trying to take that sin down, saying that one's mine, this one's mine, this one's mine? You can't do that. In and through Jesus Christ, your debt is paid. It is clean. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He can make the foulest clean. If he's done it for you, if he's done it for me, can he not do it for another? How do we love? With condition or unconditional? This is how love is shown. Not that we love God so much, but that he loved us and he sent his son for our payment of our sins. Not what we give God, but what rather he gave for us and continues each and every day. Beloved, if God so loved us, now he turns this around. He says, if God so loved us in this fashion, then can we love one another in the same way? Are we too busy pointing out people's sin, pointing out people's shortcomings? Are we too busy even looking at our own children and seeing maybe where they don't really own up or they don't really meet up to what we expected? Or do we see them as God sees them, as perfect, beautiful children, his children, washed in his blood, made clean and righteous? That's the only way that you could receive any of this word. Because if any of you know me for 12 minutes, you know that I'm far from perfect. But I have a hard time believing that there is anyone else in this audience of themselves in perfection. But yet, we are perfect in and through Christ. So he says very plainly, this is how we ought to love one another. By giving, by being sacrificial, by being encouraging. He says, telling you the truth, it's not by sight. And that's what he says in this next verse. He says, no one has ever seen God. In other words, this is not acknowledged by sight. It's by revelation, through his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by grace through faith. God has revealed himself. No one has seen him. But then he turns around and he says, if we love one another, if we have this attribute of love, a desire for good, a desire for strengthening, a desire for betterment in people's lives, God dwells in us. God abides in us. And his love, not the law, not men in their teaching, but God's love will perfect us. Jesus says very plainly in the Gospel of John, you are made clean and you are made clean through my word. It is God's word, and that's why it's so important that even as a Christian congregation, that we continue to preach from this word. I don't care what translation you want to use within reason, I'll say that. But that you preach from this word, that we receive from this word, because it is by this word that we are perfected. He says, by this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his spirit. He's given us his spirit. See, God didn't leave us down here now that as children by grace through faith to turn around and walk around aimlessly like we have no idea what we're doing. We are his children with a purpose to bring light into a darkened world, to encourage, not by our own abilities, but by the power of the Holy Spirit that he gives to us. Even Ephesians says this so straightforward. Ephesians says very straightforward. He says, hold on, I got to get to the right one. That's Galatians. We don't want that one. I was going to read a lot more, but time's running out, so I'm just going to tell you this part. I'm going to read from 12, right, basically through 14. And this, I really recommend that you'd go back home and you would see the work of Christ in your life in Ephesians chapter 1. This is not talking about predestination and just an understanding of singular. It's talking about more of a dual, that God in reality is the creator of all things. But the fact of it is, he says, that we should be his praise and his glory, the first that trusted in Christ. He says, in whom you also have trusted after that you heard the word of truth. Remember how I said this is how you are changed? By the word of God? He says, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed were sealed. After you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then he says this. He says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to his praise and glory. He says, you came into faith. You believed. God gave you the power of his Holy Spirit in your life, which is a down payment of what you're going to get in heaven. Isn't that amazing? God does all the work. God gives all the blessing. And he gives you a down payment of it so that you would know. So backwards to our thinking. I've used that description to you before. I've told you how we'll go to a bank. I won't say Spirit National because I always say Spirit National. So you go to a bank and you want to buy a house and you have to prove to them that you're going to do this and you're going to pay this back. So you put a 20% down deposit on the house, you know, in earnest. And then you make your payments. You're trying to promise to this identity that you're going to make this commitment. But God turns around and he is the one to fulfill everything. And he says, and I'm going to prove to you. I'm giving you my spirit. That you would not be alone. That you would have an encourager. That you would have the ability to seek that from on high, to make decisions in your life and what you should do. That it would encourage you in your speak, that it would help interpret in your reading, that you would understand the love of God for us and for the world. He says, he gave us a spirit. He's given it to us. He says, and we have seen and testify. And he's talking here personally, no doubt about it, John is. But I think also he's speaking about we as believers with the eyes of faith, that we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his only Son to be the Savior of this world, to save in reality all of us. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. It is by faith through grace, or by grace through faith, however you want to say it. What do we always claim to? We have groups that claim if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. That is evidence of the Spirit. I'm not going to argue that. We have groups that turn around and say, if I don't lay hands on you, you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. That is a gift in the Scripture. I'll give you that. We have groups that say if you don't have our baptism, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. There's evidence of baptism coming through that? Yes. We have groups that in reality will say it's just by the preaching of the word. There's evidence of that? Yes. In the book of Acts alone, there are those four at least understandings of the power of the Holy Spirit coming to people and speaking in tongues and laying on of hands, of preaching the word and in baptism. But the key ingredient in each and every one of those things is not the system, but faith. Because we would be system worshipers. It is by grace through faith that we receive the power of God, that He is our Father and we are His children. It is by His love that we are encouraged to enter into a world, enter into a marriage, enter into a family, and love one another. This is what He's bringing out. He says, we have seen it. We testify of it. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides with him and he in him. He says, so we have come to know and to believe the love of God that it has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. He says, by this, this love actually perfects us, makes us righteous. We're made righteous before God. He says, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. You know what he's saying here? Because of what God has done, and he continues to do, living in him, we have no fear of judgment. We are made right before God. Do we ever consider ourselves that way? Sounds cocky, doesn't it? In and through Jesus Christ, I am a righteous individual. We are. We ever consider we are saints? Paul writes to almost every letter to the saints in Corinth, the saints in Ephesus, the saints here and there. He does this continually because we are set apart for a purpose. We are purchased by the blood of Christ. We are redeemed in reality by God's grace and His love. And by grace, through faith, we have received this message. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we are right before God. Sounds cocky. People don't, they don't often like that. We like to say, well, I'm kind of a useless servant, and I haven't done much. Yeah, you of yourself haven't done much. But what God has done in you is a perfect work. What do you see? Do you see your work? Or God's work? Because God sees His work. Our works are as filthy rags. But His work is perfect. He says, by this love perfected in us so that we may be confident in that day of judgment. He says, because now we understand, as He is in this world, we are. We are His children. We are the children of the Most High King, who has spared nothing for our behalf, has given everything in our behalf. And He encouraged us to go out there into the world, not to share what we know of ourselves, but what we know of Him. To share Him. He says, there is no fear in love. None. He says, but perfect love casts out all fear. Think about that. Your child is going to get hurt. Your child is going to go darting out into the street, and you're watching this, and there's traffic coming. Tell me you wouldn't run out in front of that car to get that child. Everything in your brain tells you that that car will hurt you. Everything in your brain tells you that it could be very, very bad for your life if you jump in front of this car. But your instinct of love will allow you to do it. You will overcome that fear. That's a radical example. Love casts out all fear. How do we stand here? How do we stand here? Think about this for a moment. I'm not going to come out there. I already heard if I go out there, it's too much. How do we stand here as husband and wife to be? And we stand before a pastor, and we stand before a congregation, and we make vows of commitment for eternity, or at least this earthly life. How do we do that? To understand, now I will be responsible for her for the rest of my days. I will be responsible for, Lord willing, some children that we have. I will be responsible for a mortgage. I will do all of this stuff. I'm committing before God and before a congregation to do this. How do we do it? We do it in love. desire for the other to fulfill and to bring betterment. And we commit because we understand God's love for us, that He found that perfect mate. And so we're empowered by that love. They say love is blind. It is. My wife loves me no matter what you think. My wife loves me no matter what I think. And that has been the greatest example in my life of God's love. He says, we love because we were first loved, changed by love. We weren't changed by law. It is love that changes us. He says, if anyone says that I love God, but has a hatred, that's really what this brings out. Doesn't mean you're not going to be irritated. Doesn't mean that you're not going to get upset at times and stuff. There's going to be things that we'll have to deal with in life. We're not saying, well, everything's pie in the sky. Jesus had a righteous anger when he went into the temple. He says, if anyone says I love God but hates his brother, and this is more or less to have to their end, to their demise, he's a liar. Even Paul, who was beat, 39 times? Who was stoned to death and thrown outside of Ephesus, they thought he was dead, got up and went back in and preached. He said, under the power of the Holy Spirit in the scripture, my earnest heart's desire for the children of Israel is that they would be saved. They beat him. They threw rocks at him this big until he was dead. And he got up and he preached the gospel again and again because he loved them more than the circumstance. Because God gave him love. Paul understood. When he was Saul, he was consenting to the death of Timothy. He understood how blind humans can be. He says, if someone says, I love God, but they hate their brother, they need to fix that. They're lying. For who does not love his brother whom he can see upon this earth cannot love God who he hasn't seen. It's an impossibility. And you'll never love that brother until you know the love of God. He turns around and he says, this is a commandment. He says, that we have from him. And he's talking about Jesus himself. He says, this is a commandment that we have from him. He says, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And I'm going to leave you with this. The Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment. Jesus says, I want you to do this. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. We open this message with sacrificial love. How did Christ love us? He gave his last drop for us. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, my children, my peeps, whatever it may be in your language, that you love one another. My wife and I were having a conversation the other day, and we were talking about some individuals within different groups that just had nothing good to say. They were of a Christian church, let's say. And these other people went to a different Christian church, let's say. And this other group was just condemning this one. It just made me sad. But I laughed. We can't even get along with each other, and we're wondering why nobody wants to come into our doors. And I'm talking about all of the earthly churches upon this earth. If we don't have love for one another, and we don't have love for them out there, then why would they ever want what we have? The world already has jealousy, hatred, and bitterness. They don't need that. They need love. It's not about suits. It's not about the perfect praise groups. It's not about all the youth activities. It's not about all these other things. If we don't have love as a congregation, then we're sounding brass. We're a big gong. Remember the gong show? Carol Burnett? Man alive, you know, you didn't like your act. They hit that gong and you were done. I know it's pretty old, but I was a little kid. I remember watching it. That's what the world sees. If we as Christians don't respond with love. Love isn't always cutesy. It may have some harsh truth, but it is also done with a compassionate heart. May we continue to love as God loved us. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for the gift of love. And Father, we know that beyond ourselves, love comes down in the form of Jesus Christ. But not just in the form of Jesus Christ bringing healing, feeding the thousands, but ultimately, Father, in giving of his life. We praise and we thank you for this gift. We thank you for the sacrifice that you have given for us that we may live. And we pray, Father, also that you would give us hearts of sacrifice that we could love in a world that is so dark. We pray that we would not be in competition with others, but Father, rather stick to the task that we have at hand and love the community around us and love, first and foremost, the body of Christ that you've given us here, that we can love one another. Father, we glorify you, we praise you, and we thank you. In each and every prayer request that we've had in the last upcoming week, we lift before you. Those that are fighting cancers, we lift before you. Those that are suffering in many other ways, we lift before you. But we also praise and we thank you for the victories in our life. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father,